brother. I'll give you a mic.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And may God bless you this morning again. It's good to see you again. Let's pray again. Heavenly Father, we want to bless your name again.
Yes.
As we come together here, we thank you, Lord, for all the praises and the worship and your presence, Lord, for we are more than two, more than three, gathered here in your name.
Yes, thank you.
We pray that, Lord, you keep us from error.
Amen.
That your spirit of truth will guide us unto your glory and for the edification of your body.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
A few weeks ago, we went to Costco to do some shopping with Jennifer, and I was wearing a cap. I always wear a cap outside the church, and on the cap it says "One Way." It's a very beautiful cap from America. It says "One Way," and then there is a very, very small Bible verse. John 14:6, and as I was in Costco, I was stopped by a man who is a Muslim, and he wanted to see more closely what it was, and then he saw the Bible verse quoted, and then he asked me, what does that mean? I say, what you read. And he said to me, I'm a Muslim, and we Muslim believe that Jesus Christ is a prophet. I say, that is true, but he's more than a prophet. But why are you having an issue with this verse? I ask him, how do they recognize a prophet in Islam? He said to me, a prophet in Islam is someone who cannot lie. I said, well, you've just told me that Jesus Christ is a prophet, and Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So, do you think he was telling the truth? He got a problem there. And he said, oh, I used to research on those things before. I think I should go back. And I took a paper and quoted the verse for him and gave him my website and my email address. His name is Kadar. But before that, he said to me, so why do you believe God is white? He's a white person. So you see, the implication is that because no one has seen God to tell his skin color. But he's talking in terms of Jesus because of the geographical place Jesus was born. Yeah. So actually what he's saying that Jesus is God. That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
And he's asking me why I believe that Jesus, God, is white. Excuse me, very complicated, isn't it? And I say, well, if Abraham descended from Ham, Jesus could have been from somewhere in Africa. It's because of Abraham, because of Shem, different color. That's God's choice. It could have been differently. He had a problem. And we took about 10 minutes to chat, and I was very blessed just for wearing my cap. Well, today we'll be talking about my topic today is on the way to eternity. On the way to eternity. Now, for reasons only known by God himself, he purposed to populate eternity with a race of human beings who choose to worship him freely and obey him. He created human beings in his own image with a mind superior to that of any other living creature. And he breathed into him the breath of life, and we became living souls. However, the first human beings who were created with a free will decided to rebel, to disobey God, and fell into sin against him. That's how sin, death, sorrow, pain, murder, hardship, etc. entered this world. So this is not the world God created. It's the one we, human beings, adjusted, transformed. And we cannot be blaming God for what is going on around the world when we are responsible for what is happening. Now, this disobedience wouldn't stop the Lord from fulfilling his purpose. You see, in the book of Ephesians, we have the full plan revealed to us. It's called a mystery. What God had purposed before the foundation of this world, his plan was to create human beings who will live with him eternally. That's his goal. But because that accident happened, but God won't leave his initial plan. He will find a solution. But he has to sort out the crisis first by reconciling his creation with himself so that he can continue his plan to live with the humans he created for eternity. How did God do that? By sending his son to die for us and reconcile the world to God. Now, those who trust in Jesus Christ will now spend eternity with God. And God will continue his initial plan. That is what we call salvation. There is Charles Haddon Spurgeon is quoted as saying this. When you talk about heaven, let your face shine as the sun in its full strength. But when you talk about hell, your natural face will do. Don't be sad. On the way to eternity. Our main reading this morning is from Psalm 49. Psalm 49. Let's turn to it, please. Psalm 49. Hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall give understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will disclose my dark saying on the harp. Verse 5. Why should I fear in the days of evil when the iniquity at my heel surrounds me? Those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother. Nor give God a ransom for him, for the redemption of their souls is costly. And it shall cease forever that he should continue to live eternally and not see the pit. For he sees wise men die, likewise the fool and the senseless person perish and leave their wealth to others. Verse 11. Their inner thought is that their houses will last forever, their dwelling places to all generations. They call their land after their own names. Nevertheless, man, though in honor, does not remain. He is like the beast that perish. Verse 13. This is the way of those who are foolish, and of their posterity who approve their saying. Like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them. The upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall be consumed in the grave, far from their dwelling. 15. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Do not be afraid when one becomes rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dies, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lives, he blesses himself. For men will praise you when you do well for yourself. He shall go to the generation of his father. They shall never see light. A man who is in honor yet does not understand is like the beast that perish. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 7, I think Joseph quoted that the other time. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get it. Get wisdom. It's good. But with all you're getting, get understanding. A man who is in honor yet does not understand is like the beast that perish. Get understanding. These things are discerned spiritually.
Yes. Amen.
The foolish man says in his heart, there is no God. The foolish. It is a universal truth. A lot of truth revealed in this passage here. Job said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, naked I will go back. No one will carry anything, nothing. So now you look closely at the passage we've just been reading there, it reveals something really deep. God is not against riches. But there is an expression in the Bible that says being rich for God. There is a man called Solomon. He was one of the king of Israel, David's son. That man was very, very rich. In fact, people who have calculated in today's values his riches, his wealth, they say it would be about 40 billion US dollars in today's value. That man had 300 wives and 700 concubines. Oh, the other way around, forgive me if I've mixed up. But it's in Bible. So that man knew indulgence. That man knew what pleasure means. And that man have to be taken seriously when he speaks. He said, I've looked under the sun and found that all is vanity.
Yes.
I think that man needs to be taken seriously.
Yeah.
And he said, everything is pursuit of wind. Tout est poursuite du vent, in French. Tout poursuite du vent. To put it in a more understanding way, is the American dream. It's just a dream. It's just a dream. Now, the word grave in this passage here, in Hebrew, is the word Sheol in Hebrew, and in Greek is the word Hades. For a condition. But people who went there, those who trust in God, believe that God was able to deliver them. They were there in hope that God was able to deliver them from that condition. Remember the story of Lazarus and the wicked rich? That's the place, that's the condition before Christ came. But now, Christ has come. has emptied that place. And when you die today, well, I'm going to say myself, because when you say people, if you die, you don't want to die. If I die today, my body will be thrown in a physical grave. My soul lands into Jesus' hands. Remember Stephen? Jesus stood up to welcome him. That's what is happening under the new covenant. So we can look confidently beyond the grave. Our hope is not in this world. Can you begin to see the problem here with the false gospel? The gospel that asks people to look downward rather than looking upward. Yes, we are called to have our feet on this ground, but our heart set in Christ. Things from above. The redemption of their souls is costly, verse 8 and 9, and it shall cease. No one can redeem himself. No one can redeem his brother. Because soul is eternal. You need an eternal value to be able to save a soul. So no one can do that. It took only God himself to send his only begotten son to come and die for us to redeem our souls. Why is that? Because the punishment is eternal. And because the punishment is eternal, the solution to it must be eternal.
Yes.
Now we got a problem here with some tricks, some cunningly devised tricks, such as annihilation theories. We will not be tormented eternally. The love of Christ will triumph in the end. We will just be annihilated and disappear. And God will quench the lake of fire because he's good. His mercy and love will triumph in the end. And what about the devil and the fallen angels? Where would they be? Because the Bible says they were seized and cast in the lake of fire. The Bible repeatedly speaks of that torment day and night forever. That's what the Bible says. Where does this idea come of annihilation? Cunningly devised fable. You know what a device is? A device is not a fruit. It's not something that grows on a tree. A device is something that requires a lot of intelligence. You know, when you take your SIM card, look at the number, the size, the amount of gigs of data you can put onto it. Someone has put some intellect, some intelligence into it. And you know what? When you're making a device, it takes another device to do another device to do another device to do another. So these are cunningly devised. These are big lies. Packaged in a way that is really appealing. And then you have the universalists. All will be saved in the end. You see, it's so appealing for people, and people like that idea. God is so good. In the end, all will be saved. Well, just because I like an idea doesn't make it true. You know, there is a man called, you know him, it's called William Paul Young. That man has written a very popular book, you know about, The Shack, in which he claimed to have spent the whole weekend with God in a shack, and God revealed to him things. It wasn't just God, the Father. He was the Trinity that met him. And guess what? God came to him in the form of an Afro-American woman. And the Holy Spirit in the form of an Asian woman. And Jesus, a very good-looking boy who liked fishing, etc. believers don't see any problem with that book. It's a bestseller, according to the New York Times. And Christians are saying, after all, it's only a novel. After all, it's only a novel. But he, himself, Young, says this. To correct that idea that his book is only a novel, he says this. You can check it out. In his foreword of a book written by his friend, C. Baxter Kruger. The book is called The Shark Revisited. In the foreword, he says, his book is theology, but his theology in stories. So those who are saying it's just a novel, no, the author is saying it's theology. And he's just released another book on the 7th of March. The book is called Lies We Believe About God. Let me see if I can find a quote from him here. In Lies We Believe About God, a book which was released on March the 7th, Young states that he believes in universal salvation. That's where I'm coming from. I'm trying to show you the way these things are presented to the church in a very, very seductive manner. Yeah. While people are saying they are just novels, but the people are promoting something else.
Yes.
Which the Bible calls seducing spirit and doctrine of demons.
That's right.
Unfortunately, the Bible says in the latter day, people will give heed to those things.
That's right.
They will give themselves doctors and pastors and teachers. Because they will tell them what they want to hear. And these people here are very, very respected. And some people are prepared to die to defend them. But these people are now advocating the universal salvation. In the end, all will be saved. Why do we need the gospel then? Well, people are saying that, okay, there will be a system where people will spend a bit of time somewhere being tormented, depending on how good you were and how serious your sin were, and after being purged, the Catholicism idea as well. And then everyone will be saved, etc. But there is a problem there. I've mentioned to you the first problem is, what would happen to the devil and the fallen angels?
Mm-hmm.
Now the second problem is this. If people are going to spend some time, different time of torment, according to the inward goodness, and then leave, it means they are gaining salvation by their own merit. It contradicts the Bible. Can you see the problem?
Yes.
But these books are there. They are there and people are buying. It's a new era.
Yes.
Before it was the purpose-driven life.
Yes.
Pastors had the Bible here and the book here.
That's right. That's right.
From the pulpit. We got a problem. You see, we need to understand what we are saved from. And how? And take these things very seriously. These are not jokes. For the redemption of the soul is costly. Why, it would have been a joke. If it was, it is really unwise and unpleasant for God to send his son to come and die for us. You see, the devil is working very, very hard to try and play down the importance of these things. Well, if you can cross the door of the church and get into the church, it doesn't matter.
Yes.
But they can change your mind and say you've come to become rich.
Mm-hmm.
And you are completely diverted from the main purpose into earthly things.
Yeah.
Now, we've seen rich people dying. We've seen the end. We've seen the, some might be your heroes, but I'm just using an example. The Michael Jackson, etc. And recently, someone here in England, George something, etc., etc., etc. But we see the misery at the end. But people don't want to learn from it. People don't want to take seriously what Solomon is saying. If someone like Solomon is speaking, we need to take him seriously. You see, we have visited the Eiffel Tower, La Tour de Fel in Paris, and went to the very top there and see how beautiful it is. Now, if I'm describing you that to get there, you need 1,000 steps, and most of people don't get there because they get very tired, and I can explain you the queue, how it is, take me seriously. But if someone is searching online and is explaining the story, he's only explaining the story. However best his explanation is, I'm telling you about what I have experienced. Now, Jesus Christ came, he died, he went there, he came back, rose again, went to heaven, and he said, I know the way. I am the way. I am the life and the resurrection. Those who believe in me will live though they died. I am the resurrection and the life, he said. So I think he is more credible and reliable than Buddha, who did not know where he was going. But how come Buddhism is so popular today?
Yes.
Have you noticed the word ethics? The word ethical is now preferred over the word moral.
Yes.
Because the word moral reminds God's commandments. If you speak of ethics, you are the judge. And people say, it's not ethical. No one wants to hear about morality anymore. But Buddha did not know where he was going. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one. You see, that's a problem with Muslims. That's a problem. If you want to be politically correct, that's fine. But Jesus said, no one. No one means no one. Except through him. Now, we can say all road leads to Rome, but only Jesus is the door of the sheep to heaven. Dear brethren, these are very serious matters. We don't play with our souls. I'm not here to scare anybody. I'm just telling you what is in here. It happened to me on that blessed day of the 5th of April, 1903 at 11 o'clock.
Praise the Lord.
In front of 500 people. I came forward and accepted Jesus.
Thank you.
On that day, I was invited. And I was with girlfriends. Guess what? But the matter was so serious. I was smoking cigarettes. And someone paid for me to come to that convention. Because that's what Christians did in those days. They cared about unsaved students. Are there any students here? I was saved by the work of other students who believe in Jesus. And when they see me, they say, this is the result of our work in campuses. Now I'm talking to young people. And this is not a joke. You have to make a difference for Christ.
Yeah.
You have to make a difference. People may be against you. You have to be excellent. You have to work hard. But you have to uphold the standard of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And show that there is a different way of living. Godly way of living. It doesn't matter what's going around you. Someone say, with Christ, you are the majority. There is a young person here who read from Hebrews 12. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Laying aside every weight. And the sin that ensnares us so easily. And run. Run the race that is set before us. Young and old, everybody. You see, friends, I'm really challenging. When I see senior people, believers, I am encouraged. I say, it is possible. Those people have seen it all. They fought the good fight of faith. They've seen all the disappointment, all the false brethren in churches. They've seen it all. But they have persevered. We should look at those people and bless God for that. And continue as they pass him to us, we will pass to other generations, we pass to other generations, we have to pass until Jesus Christ comes. That's how the church is growing. Amen. These are not jokes. You are the household of God. A household is more than a house. A household is a family. It's life that goes inside with their own tradition, with their own history, with their own way of doing things inside. We are the family of God. We need to understand that. Each one of us has received something from God.
Yes.
Don't seek to be like someone else.
Amen.
Yes, we can imitate someone else's perseverance, but we cannot imitate the calling. Imitate the faith, the steadfastness of others, how they loved God, but we can't imitate the ministry.
Yes.
You have to find out in the Lord in prayer what God has called you to do.
Amen.
And do it.
Amen.
And that will clear problems and jealousy in churches.
Yes. Yes.
Everybody wants to be Billy Graham. And that results in confusion upon confusion upon confusion upon confusion, yet God is not the author of confusion.
Absolutely.
Okay, see how far we go. Let's jump to the conclusion. Eternity is a reality. It is a reality. We are made of a body, soul, and spirit. The body can rot in the grave, but the soul does not die. In fact, the Bible says, it's Solomon, I think, the soul returned, the spirit returned to the one who gave it. That's God. And Daniel says, those who sleep will rise. All who sleep will rise, but for different destination. Thank you. Different destination. Some for everlasting life and some for everlasting shame. It is a reality and we can't escape. And the devil is working very, very, very hard to make these things sound like jokes. And people are playing with their life. They are playing with their life. You see all this massacre, all this terrorist attack. Those are people dying without Christ. It's a tragedy. You have found Christ. Cling on to him. It is saying in Revelation, these are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Would you be amongst them? Love Christ with all your heart. He saved us. Appreciate. I remember that lady who was saying, I don't see the need to be saved because I can't identify sin in my life apart from smacking my child from time to time. That is called self-righteousness. That's your standard, not God's standard, because the first sin is rebellion against God, not having Jesus Christ and rejecting his so great salvation. How about that? We have to take this thing seriously. We don't know when we're going to die. We don't know when Jesus Christ is going to come. The young dies. The old dies. The baby dies. It's not about I'm going to wait until I'm certain age. We have to decide. The day of salvation is today. I'm not scaring anybody. I'm just saying what God has said. That one day he will judge this world by someone, the person he has appointed, Jesus Christ. And he has given evidence by rising him from the dead. That day is coming. The day of salvation is today. I was 28 when I got saved. I was at university. Christ changed my life. I've never regretted. He gave me a family. He helped me. He gave me even a big family, brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yes.
And I'm happy. What can the world offer me?
Yes.
Nothing. Now, let's try and go quickly and conclude. Jump to the conclusion then. The Bible speaks of resurrection. Why don't we read? Let's read from Revelation 21st and see what we can get from it. Turn to Revelation 20 from verse 11. Revelation 20, verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. 13. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. The dead and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So, there is something called the second death. Well, it's politically incorrect, the idea of eternal torment, but God is responsible for it, not me. It is called second death. We usually say those who were born twice will die once, those who were born twice will die twice. If I was born once, sorry, I'm confused a little bit. Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. Yeah? Okay. The time for salvation is today. There is something called the wrath of God. Remember the song? The wrath of God was satisfied only in Christ. Only by grace can we enter, not by human endeavor. However good we think we are, I love Tony Pierce's illustration. He says this: if you ask people to swim from here to America, Michael Phelps, is that the world champion? Michael Phelps? Can swim a little bit more than any other, but he can't swim up to America. Everyone will swim a little bit, but not to America. We need a boat. You need someone to come and take you to America. No one is good enough to go to heaven because the condition is perfection. No one can do it. It will Christ to come himself to take us. Now I'm sparing you all the things in between. A lot of stuff there. The timing, the rapture, the second coming of Christ, etc. There are plenty of them here. But it doesn't matter if there are a bit of different views on them. The most important thing is to be sure that we have given our life to Christ. Mm-hmm. We have received him. We wait for him. It doesn't matter whether it's post, pre, post-tribulation, pre-wrath, amillennialist, post-millennialist, and people are fighting rather than caring about souls. Human pride, lack of humility. The problem is more important than the theory I support. May the Lord help us to discern these things and take his life more seriously and take the Christian life a bit more seriously. You see, when I ask some of my kids, the little ones, what's your best song? They say, Jesus loves me. Do you know why? Because of the number of me's in it. The Bible tell me, yeah, because I love me. It's all about me. But we read, for thou hast created all things. That is taken from Revelation 5, when John sees the throne of God, people falling down, worshiping God for what he is.
Amen.
Yeah. It's all about God, not me.
Amen.
I don't want to offend anybody. Everyone wants to fly like an eagle. Everybody wants to fly like an eagle. Who will humble? Who will put God first? Look at that. They're all falling down. You have created, recognized, putting God where he is for what he is. That's what we call worship. Yeah. It's more than just singing and feeling good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So eternity is a reality. New heaven and new earth. Turn with me to the last passage quickly. That's Revelation 21. Again, that is a mystery. Revelation 21 from verse 1 to 8. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, this word are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who first. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. 22 verse 1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Let me pause a bit there. There was an old missionary from America. He spent about 50 years in the deep jungle in Africa, preaching the word of God amongst cannibals. Very dangerous place. Mosquitoes, etc. When he was about to retire, he went back to America. You know, in those days, the journey took very long. He was very tired. And he got there. They stopped the ship because the American president was coming back from holiday. So there was security, lot of honor. And the missionary looked. There was no one to welcome him, even from his church. And he felt himself, why this? Just that, a voice in his heart. My son, you're not home yet. Truly, these times of ignorance, God overlooked. But now God commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness. By the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this by raising him from the dead. Today, after such a long time, as it is said, today, if you hear the voice, his voice, do not harden your heart. If you're listening to me now and you haven't been reconciled with God, do not harden your heart. God loves you. God loves you. He needs your life. He wants you. He loves you. He sent his son for you. Don't play. Don't gamble. This is very serious.
Yeah.
Jesus is the judge, the advocate, the sentence, the justifier. He's the price, he's the redemption, he's the righteousness of God, he's the light of this world, the hope of Israel, the life and the resurrection. He's the firstborn among the dead, the faithful and true, the Lamb of God, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. Come to him. Come to him as to a living stone, rejected but precious. rock of offense to others, but precious stone for us.
Yeah.
Jesus is precious. We are the living stone. It is a mystery. The new Jerusalem, the new earth, and the new heaven is a very, very, very deep reality to understand. Where are we going to spend eternity? It's not in heaven, it's not on earth. It is in the new heaven and earth. It is a new reality which we cannot understand. John is trying to explain us, but who will enter there? That new earth and new heaven is a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, it's a new creation. In order to enter there, you have to be a new creation created in Christ, not just according to Adam. Do we want to enter there? Do we want to make peace with God? Only by grace can we enter.
Yes.
God bless you. Let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, actually, I will ask the pastor to come and pray.
Friends, as we just finish, we've got to remember, let's remember something of the things that have been said, but God is not looking for our agreement with what has been said. God is not looking for our agreement in what has been said. God is looking for our obedience. It is a response that God is after. Friends, we're going to sing a song to finish with, All to Jesus I Surrender.